This is a Storage Switzerland podcast.
Welcome to the Storage Podcast. Charlie Hodges along with George Crump. George is the founder and lead analyst of Storage Switzerland. George, let's talk about open source. Seems like it's going to backup now. A column written about Bacula on the website. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Bacula is, well, first of all, Bacula is a open source product. You can go to bacula.org and see the open source backup solution there. Bacula Enterprise kind of moves it out of the science project stage, which is what is pretty common with many open source solutions nowadays, and it gives them turnkey support, some additional features that aren't in the open source product, things like that. And it becomes very interesting because, you know, backup is a pretty complex world in which to live. And if you go down the feature checklist, they've got all the key features that you really want in a backup solution. They cover all the major platforms that you would expect. They even have support for some applications that, for example, PostgreSQL, that some enterprise applications wouldn't have. So you combine that with enterprise class support and you end up with a very compelling solution. What's interesting is that the way the product works, it's all based on a support subscription sort of model. The net of that is that the cost of the product is about 24% of the cost of a equivalent enterprise solution. Now that's 24% of, not 24% less than. So that could be a significant saving. So if you're looking for kind of a more traditional enterprise backup solution, certainly something to think about.
Let's move on to some of the briefing notes that we have. A startup is saying that scale-out storage has some fundamental weaknesses. What are we talking about there?
Sure. There's a company called Cumulo, and they are delivering sort of the next generation scale-out NAS. What it does is it really focuses on the analytics of the solution. So it captures information about data, building, if you will, a footprint of the data that it's storing, and really allows the organization to fine-tune how data is stored and things like that. It does all the normal stuff that we would expect, delivering NFS and SMB as well as REST API access. So that works real well. It has a flash front end, and then as data ages, it ages out to hard drive. So very interesting solution coming to market. It's going to be available both in a turnkey hardware solution as well as a software only. So I guess you could say it's software defined, but your choice as to how you acquire the product.
Physical servers matter, and Diskkeeper keeps them running like new. Another briefing note from StorageSwiss.com.
Yeah, so Diskkeeper's been around forever, and so it was interesting. I actually wrote this piece, and there was two things that I felt we had to get across. That number one, physical servers still matter. If you do the math in the enterprise today, most organizations will claim they're in the 50 to 60% range as far as number of virtual servers, but that means that about 40% of the servers are still physical systems. And so taking care of those and paying attention to those is important. Then secondly, there's another interesting thing in that we talk about in the 90s, it seems like we were obsessed with defragmenting hard drives. You had these different programs you'd buy, and there was this huge competition. In the enterprise, we don't talk about that much anymore. And I think there's an assumption that the SAN array does most of the work. And to some extent, that's true. But once that SAN array gives a volume to a Windows server, how Windows writes that data is obscured from that SAN array. So it can get fragmented within that volume and greatly impact performance. As a result, the performance impact there can be about 25%. And a quick example, this really impacts IOPS. So I wrote a piece about a month ago about how IOPS don't matter. And here's one of the reasons. If you have a heavily fragmented set of data within a volume on a SAN array and a request is sent for that data, well, if it's fragmented, let's say, into 20 pieces, that's 20 I/O operations that have to occur to get all those parts of that data put together as one so you can do something with it. Comparatively, if that can be automatically defragmented, this is what Diskkeeper does, Then you can do that with a single I/O. So it's a real value. This runs at the filter layer within the Windows operating system. It'll work with any attached disk, be it SAN or local. And it really gives you sort of a 25% instant performance boost without doing anything.
Let's go to All Flash and DR. We have a company that says it can deliver feature-rich all-flash with intelligent DR. What are we talking about?
There's a company called StoreTrends, and they're out of Atlanta, Georgia, actually. They're a subsidiary of American Megatrends, which has been around for a very long time. So they delivered announced the StoreTrends 3600i, which is an all-flash array. And it joins their 3400i and 3500i, which are hard disk and hybrid array products. So the all-flash array, very competitively priced, certainly appropriately configured with multiple 10 gig interfaces, can scale to capacities of 256 terabytes. Nothing real abnormal there. I mean, that's kind of what we'd expect now in all-flash arrays. There was two things that really stuck out at me here. The first was that they created a write-optimized flash tier. So they have flash configured in two different modes, if you will, in the storage system. The first mode is, like I said, a write-optimized tier, and it's tuned for higher endurance. So it essentially acts as a shock absorber for inbound writes. And as listeners of this podcast know, one of the challenges with flash is endurance, and the more you write to it, the worse it gets. Well, this is tuned to be able to absorb those writes. And then the second tier is tuned more for read. So it wouldn't be able to handle as many writes, but then what happens is that shock absorber takes care of it. Once the data settles down, it goes to that secondary tier, and then we can use more cost-effective flash there, but get similar read performance. So it's a really interesting design. There's only like two other companies that have done anything like this, so I really like that. The other key thing that stuck out to me was the maturity of their software. Most storage software applications are pretty limited in their capabilities in these kind of new startup-y type of companies, right? They have a really strong snapshot capability, very simple interface. They also have the ability to, as the title that you quoted says, they have really strong asynchronous replication capabilities, so you can actually do disaster recovery and things like that between systems. More importantly, because the software is, if you will, interchangeable, I can have an all-flash array in my primary data center and then the hard disk, 3400 hard disk array in my disaster recovery site and replicate between those two systems. So I can have high performance in my primary data center, and then I have cost-effective performance in my secondary or DR data center.
Let's go to Drobo. You know, it's been, about 2 years now since Connected Data bought them out. It seems that Drobo and Connected Data are now going back into the SMB market.
There's really two parts of the Connected Data company now, right? There's Transporter that we've used and we spoke about, a few podcasts ago that I think everybody's really liking, that gives us really good private file sync and share. Then the other part is Drobo. And they've really been the block storage NAS solution for small to medium-sized companies. And I think the company was trying to figure out what exactly to do in this part of the market, and I think they just kind of recommitted in a big way to it. There's a couple of things that make the product really interesting in this SMB market. So first of all, this solution is really designed for small VMware installations, maybe running a Microsoft SQL application, maybe even running email or something of that nature. And there's two key things. First is what Drobo is famous for is their Beyond RAID, which is a really strong RAID solution, very simple, takes a lot of the fuss out of it, can support multiple drive failures simultaneously, can do instantaneous expansion, and also has a virtual hotspot. So all the stuff you want without even having to think about it, you just plug it in. Mm-hmm. The second part is it does automatic tiering. So you can put in the smaller units, you can put a little mSATA SSD to get a little bit better performance than from the hard drives. And in the 1200, which is this the updated solution, you can put three full-size SSD drives in it for approximately about a terabyte or so worth of flash acceleration storage. So that makes for really good performance. About 2 years ago, we did when this about a year ago. So when this first product first came out, we did a test and we saw that even over a 1 gig connection, having that SSD tier actually made a performance improvement. So what they did is they updated their flagship product, which is the B1200i. It can have, as in the past, it can have 3 solid state disk drives, and then the rest can be high capacity or some capacity hard disk. The update includes a performance boost of 800%. So that's a result of two things. First of all, they upgraded the storage processors or the compute that comes with it. And then secondly, they improved the efficiency of the software to make it more multi-threaded, right? We live in a multi-core world. The more threaded you are, the better nowadays, and they've done that work. They've also expanded the capacity of the box. It can now support storage pools of 128 terabytes. Volumes can now be 64 terabytes. The limit prior was 16 terabytes, so that's pretty big, especially where this product could tend to land. You know, I see it going, again, in big VMware shops where you want to have as few volumes as possible, and then also places that do a lot of media and things like that where you can blow through 16 terabytes pretty quickly. It's also certified now with vSphere ESXi 6.0, so that gives that all that certification. So, and the other key thing here is really aggressively priced. So for example, the hybrid system has 48 terabytes of raw hard drive capacity, 720 gigabytes of raw SSD capacity at a list price of $12,600. So very affordable entry price for a shared storage solution, ideal for a starter VMware type of infrastructure.
Let's finish off with a little bit of controversy. Not that we love controversy, but we always seem to get in it. This time, though, you wrote a blog about Permabit, and you were critical of our dear friend Tom Cook, our good friend Tom Cook. Why would you go after Tom?
Yeah, I guess nobody's safe, right? I think I was pretty polite. Tom wrote a blog, and we'll link to it in both blogs in the show note. But he wrote a piece that was pretty critical, actually, of startups, which I'm kind of a fan of startups, and he predicted that these startups were going to essentially disappoint their investors and shareholders, and the reason. Part of the reason is he thinks that tier one vendors have now sort of leveled the playing field with startups as it comes to presenting all flash and hybrid flash solutions. Part of that is powered by Permabit's success with their product SandBlox, which gives tier one vendors a really quick way to provide inline deduplication and compression. And again, like Tom had said, levels of playing field. My exception to that argument is only that, yes, that's absolutely true if the all-flash startup only has data efficiency as their key feature, right? So if all they're doing is throwing in a bunch of all-flash, a bunch of SSD into a box and then putting some compression and deduplication on it, yeah, those guys are suspect. But there are a few startups that are innovating well beyond just storage efficiency. They're getting more intelligent with the way data is handled. They're delivering a lot of different features. You know, one is, for example, doing data classification where you can do context level searching within the data on their system, and all that happens in real time. So, and the other thing that his position assumes is that tier one vendors are going to execute in the market very efficiently. That's not always the case. Big companies don't always do what we think they're going to do. Sometimes big companies trip and fall and make a big loud noise, right? So I think that's the other issue. So I think really what I wrapped it up with is, look, whether you're a startup or a tier one, at the end of the day, you got to deliver a set of features that solve customer problems, and you've got to execute in the marketplace, right? That means getting your message out. That means implementing it, making sure it's implemented correctly, either through yourself or through your channel. And then that you're there to support the customer when something goes wrong. Because one thing we know in storage is eventually something will go wrong. And how are you going to be able to respond to that situation? So I don't know if it was so much critical of Tom. It was just a different point of view. And actually, I was glad Tom wrote the piece because it inspired me to write a different piece.
And Tom's reaction?
Oh, he's pretty favorable. We actually had a long phone call about it that was probably 5 minutes on the article and half an hour on kids, family, and triathlons.
I tell you what, let's see if we can get Tom on an upcoming podcast. We now have our CEO features. We've already had one CEO, Ron Biacchini, on, give a chance to have Tom on, and a few others. What do you say?
I think that's a great idea, Charlie.
Well, with Hodges having a great idea for once, we're going to go ahead and end this podcast. I'm Charlie Hodges along with George Crump. Thanks for joining us on the Storage Podcast.
For more, go to StorageSwiss.com.